I speak often, but I'm up here quite often, or up there. So welcome to Darling Christian Fellowship. It's wonderful to be in the house of God with such God-fearing people. For those who've never heard me speak before, this will be a first. For those who have, I apologise. You can speak to Rob quietly after the service to make sure it doesn't happen again. But seriously, it is a privilege to be given the honour to share God's word with you and to share what I believe He's laid upon my heart today. I must confess, though, that I always get nervous when I'm asked to share the message. Part of this stress is because I want to do a good job, and part is because I question my own ability in the midst of such learned people. Have the added stress today that our son, when you're a parent and your kids start getting their licences and you're worried about them driving with their P-Play friends, our son Zach, his friend who's also 17 was WA's youngest pilot, and Zach's flying to Rottnest and back with him this morning. I'm not sure if planes have P-Plates, but... So I'll refer to my notes so I don't get lost and won't get too distracted. Now, during this week, I was asked to speak at the NAIDOC assembly at school. It was a week late, but that's lots of things were going on with that. To present a history of NAIDOC mixed with a devotion was no small task to combine the two. But God gave me an idea and I ran with it. Then came the stress. There are people at school with far greater theological knowledge than I have. And the invited guests were Des Headland, former Brisbane Lion and Fremantle Docker. I didn't hold that against him. And the Honourable Ken Wyatt, Federal Minister for HasLuck and the Minister for Indigenous Australians. These two Noongar men have far greater Indigenous cultural knowledge than me. The theme for NAIDOC 2020 always will be. So to tie that to the Bible, I compared the connection of Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people to the land with that of the Jewish people that, despite being exiled to Babylon, always felt connection to the land. I thought I did an okay job. It was a difficult task. But because of COVID-19 restrictions, not many people saw the assembly anyway. It was supposed to live stream to the classrooms, but the tech didn't work, so they recorded it. I think 5 people have watched it. At least then I couldn't be challenged by the theologically superior people at school. Now, I spoke to Ken White after the assembly, and he mentioned that he thought the comparison I made between Indigenous culture and Jewish culture was good. And then when he was in Israel, he got permission from the tour guide to wander off the set course so that he could visit the Garden of Gethsemane, where he knelt among the very olive trees that Jesus may have knelt among. I need not have worried. God had it all along. And when I began thinking about what to share with you today, I thought I knew exactly what I wanted to say. I started writing things down and searching Bible verses, but the more I thought about it, and the more I listened to the prompting of the Holy Spirit, the more I moved away from what I thought I wanted to say. What has resulted is another talk about religious persecution. The third in my series, if you like. But this time, I feel I can provide a bit of an idea on what to do about it. So here we go. But first, let's pray. Lord, you reveal yourself to us, to each of us, in unique ways, and we are thankful that you only reveal to us that which we can handle. I pray, Lord, that you'll open our hearts, open our minds to your teaching through today's message, and I pray that you'll help me to deliver that message, and that we'll all be receptive to what you have to say today. Amen. Right. The love and the light in the dash is what I've called my talk today. The love and the light in the dash. It shall become apparent soon, I hope. It'll come as no surprise to you that religious liberty in Australia and around the world is under attack. It was and will continue to be a progressive point of attack in local, state, and federal politics. What is surprising, though, is that religious liberty is a fundamental principle of liberal democracy. Western democracies, though, have turned religious freedom into a code word for anti-gay bigotry, and they're determined to cleanse the public psyche of traditional Christian voices. Now, I was thinking when I was writing, Rob always talks about calculus and stuff, which I don't understand. I'm not a math teacher, I'm a history teacher. So we'll take it from that perspective. From a historical point of view, Christians in Australia are living in the worst crisis since the fall of the Roman Empire in the late 6th century. The Reformation was about what kind of Christian we're going to be. And today, it's about whether we're going to be Christians at all. With so much hate and loathing towards Christians, it'd be easy to get caught up in the world, to fight fire with fire, eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth. If the world hates us so much, shouldn't we hate it back? Shouldn't we hate those who persecute us? Shouldn't we hate those who are trying to take away our Christianity? Of course, the answer is resounding no. Gandhi, an eye for an eye makes the whole world blind. We can't fight hate with hate. We can't take an eye for an eye or a tooth for a tooth. 15:18-19 and then to 21 states, if the world hates you, keep in mind it hated me first. Obviously this is Jesus speaking. If you belong to the world, it would love you as its own. As it is, you do not belong to the world, but I've chosen you out of the world. This is why the world hates you. And in verse 21, Jesus says, they will treat you this way because of my name, for they do not know the one who sent me. They hated Jesus without reason. And they hate Christians without reason. And Martin Luther King Jr. was faced with much hate throughout his life. He was an influential man. He was a Christian, he was an African American, and he was an activist. When faced with hatred almost every day of his life, he famously said, returning violence for violence multiplies violence, adding a deeper darkness to a night already devoid of stars. Darkness cannot drive out darkness. Only light can do that. Hate cannot drive out hate. Only love can do that. So you think about something that's dark, even the tiniest bit of light can take away darkness. The tiniest bit of love can take away hate. You are the light that's called upon to disperse the darkness. You are the vessel of love that is called upon to dispel the hate. Matthew 5:14-16. You are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before men, that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven. The scripture is full of specific instructions on how we should treat each other, and a lot of those have love as a foundation. In the NIV translation, love is mentioned 551 times. The actual word love, other derivatives of it are different, but 551 times. John 13:14, a new command I give to you, love one another as I have loved you, so you must love one another. And we need love to drive out hate. John 13:25, by this all men know you are my disciples, if you love one another. We just sang that. Again, love. This is the love that we're talking about. Romans 12:10. Be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Honour one another above yourselves. Romans 13:8. Let no debt remain outstanding except the continuing debt to love one another. For he who loves his fellow man has fulfilled the law. Galatians 5:13. You, my brothers, were called to be free, but do not use your freedom to indulge a sinful nature. Rather, serve one another in love. We need to love the world Well, rather, we need to love the people in the world. Be in the world, but not of the world. Romans 12:22 says, "Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect." We need to be kind to one another. Again, Ephesians 4:32, "Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving another as Christ forgave you." Elihu Burritt. Anyone heard of Elihu Burritt? No, not surprising. I hadn't either. He was an American diplomat, a philanthropist, and a social activist. He wrote, "No human being can come into this world without increasing or diminishing the sum total of human happiness, not only of the present, but of every subsequent age of humanity. No one can detach himself from this connection. Everywhere his presence or absence will be felt. Everywhere he will have companions who will be better or worse for his influence." So any person you come in contact with, you will influence for better or for worse. It's an interesting thing to think about. When you leave people, do they feel better or worse for their interaction with you? Now, sometimes I realise we do have to make people feel worse so they can feel better later. We need to correct, we need to tell people in a nice way that they might not have the correct idea. They might feel bad to start with, but it needs to be done anyway. Right, the dash. Here we go, the light and the love in the dash. The dash is important. So we have the your name. On your tombstone, you have a dash, or you will have a dash. Anyone yet? None of you are here yet. Well, I'm not being quite that boring, I hope. It hasn't happened yet. So your name will be on your tombstone, with the date you were born, the date that you died, and between those there is the dash. When you die, what will your family, friends, and the world say about the life you lived? What will be in your dash? What does your dash consist of? There's a poem by Linda Ellis, and it reads like this. "I read of a man who stood to speak at a funeral of a friend. He referred to the dates on the tombstone from beginning to the end. He noted that first came the date of birth and spoke of the following date with tears. But he said, what mattered most of all was the dash between those years. For that dash represents all the time they spent alive on earth. And now only those who love them know what that little line is worth. For it matters not how much we own, the cars, the house, the cash. What matters is how we live and love and how we spend our dash. So think about this long and hard. Are there things you'd like to change? For you never know how much time is left that can still be rearranged. To be less quick to anger and show appreciation more and love the people in our lives like we've never loved before. If we treat each other with respect and more often wear a smile, remember that this special dash might only last a little while. So when your eulogy is being read, with your life's actions to rehash, would you be proud of the things they say about how you lived your dash? What will you do with your dash? What have you done with your dash? What will you do when you leave here with your dash? Life carries in its purpose for us the duty to reach out to others and to help them become all they were meant to be. To do less is to live less, and we will be judged, as we are watched from above, by the way we treat the least of those who walk among us. You are the light of the world. Hebrews 13:1-3 says, "Keep on loving one another as brothers and sisters. Do not forget to show hospitality to strangers. For by doing so, some people have shown hospitality to angels,
without knowing it. Continue to remember those in prison as if you were together with them in prison, and those who are mistreated as if you yourselves were suffering. We need to focus on whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable. If anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. What we think about and focus on are very important. Those thoughts become our reality. Thoughts truly do become things. Imagine this scenario. That'd be a sad scenario. You were holding a cup of coffee, not unusual for me, when someone happens along and bumps into you, making you spill your coffee everywhere. Why did you spill the coffee? You spilled the coffee because there was coffee in your cup. Makes sense. Had there been tea in your cup, you would have spilled tea. The point is, whatever is inside your cup is what will spill out. Therefore, when life comes along and shakes you, which will happen, whatever is inside you will come out. It's easier to fake it until you get rattled. So we have to ask ourselves, what's in my cup? When life gets tough, what spills out? Joy, gratefulness, peace, humility? Or does anger, bitterness, harsh words and reactions come out? You choose. Today, let's work towards filling our cups of gratitude, forgiveness, joy, words of affirmation, kindness, gentleness, and love for others, so that when you get rattled, those things will spill out. Fill your dash and your cup. Fill your dash between your two dates with love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things, there is no law. Show your dash to others. Let people into your dash. Share your dash with the family of believers and with those yet to accept Christ as their Lord and Saviour. Live your dash. Be thankful for your dash. Be proud of your dash. I am blessed that you have let me share your dash. Let me share your dash with you. No, let you share your dash with me. That's the one. Now go forth and bless others. So fill your dash with love, with joy, and you know all these things. With peace, with forbearance, with kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Fill your cup, fill your dash with those things so that when you get rattled, and get rattled you will sometime in life, those are the things that spill out. An age, like I said, the very start of religious persecution, where people are trying to find excuses to say we can't be Christians. Rob spoke about the chaplains in schools. It's great we have chaplains in schools. There was a time when it looked like we weren't going to have them anymore. They were going to remove all the funding. We can't keep taking God out of places and expect God to show up when we ask him to. He's not a transactional God. We can't live our lives, of course we can't turn lives around, but you can't live a life of sin and go, oh, now I need God, please come and help me. He may. That's his will. If that's his will. We need to live our lives in a manner that we show others that Christianity is a good thing. I work at a Christian school. Most of the kids there are Christians. They feel that Christianity is a religion of no's. You can't do this, you can't do that, you can't. It's not. It's a religion of freedom. We need to fill our lives in a way such that when we get better, when things happen, when we're persecuted, goodness comes out, love comes out. Lots of something that love. I was pleased. I wouldn't say surprised because you know, it was God's leading. The songs Rob chose. All I said was, I think I'm talking about love. And that was earlier in the week, and you know, who knows how things changed from then.
The songs I felt fitted in really, really well. I often find when you lead and when you preach, if God's got it, I mean, God does have it all the time, things just happen to fit in coincidentally. They just work well together. It's not a coincidence. So how are you going to spend your dash? How are you going to fill your dash? Whether you're at the left-hand side or the right-hand side, not towards the left or towards the right, even no one's on the right-hand side. You choose. You choose what goes into your dash. You choose what comes out of your dash. You choose who to share your dash with. We can't just share it with the family of believers. Although, we do need to come to a church such as this to refill our cups. Not with coffee. I like drinking coffee. But we need to meet as a family of believers. We can't pour out and out and out. Now, as I said before, I'm a teacher, and I'm sure Rob would have felt the same. As a teacher, you give and give and give and give and give. And if you don't get your cup refilled, you run out. You run empty. Same with Christians, I think. We're out in the world. We can give and give and give and give and show love and show care and show all of these things. And be joyful when you don't want to be joyful. To show peace and kindness and forbearance. Sometimes that's hard. If we give and give and give and do those things all the time, we will run empty. We need to meet as a fellowship of believers to get filled up again so we can keep doing these things. And that's a challenge. It does say in the Bible, and I don't remember the verse, don't give up meeting together. We need to meet, and especially over Christmas. And you get all these secular songs, it's the most wonderful time of the year. It is. I love Christmas. It's a time when, I think it's an easier time to speak to people about Jesus and what he did, the fact that he was born. The Christmas carols that play through the shops have such strong Christian foundations. God and sin is reconciled. It's a good time to be talking to people. Fill your dash, fill your cup with these things. So not only when you rattle they come out, but so that you can show people being a Christian is actually a good thing and not the bigoted, hate-filled people that the media paints us to be. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we are truly thankful for the life you have given us. We are grateful that we get to choose how we spend our dash. Help us to use our dash to help others, to spread joy, to magnify peace and to demonstrate love for each other and for you, because that's how we are set apart from the world. Help us be emboldened by the knowledge that no amount of darkness can overcome light, but that the tiniest bit of light can destroy darkness. Lord, we ask you to fan our flame or rekindle that which is almost extinguished. Thank you that there is no law that can stand against the fruit of the Spirit, and we lay claim to these gifts. In Jesus' name. Amen.